It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to On the Bench Instant Reaction. I'm Josh Newberg. Chris Knee is in the player press conference right now, so I am joined by Brendan Sinone. It's a win. Florida State defeated Boston College 26-23 up in Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts on Saturday afternoon. The Seminoles moved to 5-6 on the season with the win, and FSU surged out to a 26-3 lead early in the third quarter.
5-6, Joshua. 5-6. That's my fault. I got you confused before mentioning five out of the last seven. That's on me.
All right. No problem. But Florida State surged out to a 26-3 lead early in the third, needed the Akeem Dent interception to seal it in the final 2 minutes. FSU dominated the first half. The Seminoles led 19-3 at the half. FSU got two first half touchdowns through the air from quarterback Jordan Travis, and he had the offense rolling. Then, much like last week, the offense bogged down in the second half, allowing BC to make a game of it. We welcome in Brendan Sinone.
Oh, officially. Hello.
How you doing?
Fancy seeing you here, Joshua.
Yeah, Brendan, you got to watch the game from the house as we sent Chris Knee on the road. It's a little bit different perspective sitting there on the couch. What did you see? What did you think? Did you throw anything at your TV?
I was watching it from a laptop, so no. The ACC from top to bottom, at least of the product that I witnessed today, the ACC network's production was horrible. The commercials they allow on there, awful.
Are getting better. Way better.
That's better than what it was.
Way better. I actually even thought about that during the game today. It's like, oh, they must have gotten a whole new set of commercials batched in because the old ones were just awful.
There's this one. It's like an infomercial. Someone's trying to clear their browsing, like not their browsing history, but like their Google search stuff.
We must be on different algorithms because I had like the normal ones. Because normally I do. I have the tact razor and the ear in the hearing aids and like all that, but I didn't get any of those today.
Must be on different algorithms. The broadcasts, the camera angles, only having one.
The officiating camera. How about the officiating?
Let's get into the officiating. The officiating. You don't feel like bleeping anything out, right?
No, I'm not bleeping.
You're not bleeping out. I mean, it was atrocious, Josh. And I don't allow. I'm well documented on this podcast. I don't allow like the game to dictate my. I like to see FSU do well. I'm not a diehard fan. I do like to see FSU do well. It's more fun to cover a winning team. I don't let my emotions get overly involved throughout the course of a game, especially like not after the game. I'm still mad. I'm still legitimately hot from watching that game. It was an embarrassment to, if you want to call this a subsidy of professional football, you know, minor league football, of high level college football, whatever you want to call it, it was Bush League officiating. It was atrocious. I could think of a dozen calls or no calls that were awful. I don't know if we want to get into them. It was one of the worst officiated games I've ever covered or witnessed or attended in my 33 years on this planet Earth. Do you agree? Was it awful or is it just me? Like, it was bad, right?
Okay, I think it was awful. Yeah. I mean, I think some of the calls were awful, but like, I'm not going to sit here and say that the reason why this game was close was because the calls were awful. I think Florida State did enough of bogging down. I mean, I think Florida State could have put this game away regardless of officiating, but yeah, the officiating definitely kept Boston College in it at some points and was frustrating. And Florida State, you know, some of them were deserved, some of them weren't, you know, some of them were the old penalties rearing their head, but yeah, I thought it was kind of ugly. There were some bad calls.
And they, to be fair, like they did, Josh, like overcome both their own miscues, and there were enough, and I will get into that, miscues that Florida State committed. Like, it was all on the officiating, but they had to overcome that too. That was a real thing. Like, yeah, it would have been great if Florida State could have taken the next step. I got a text from a source at halftime, not someone in the program, but someone on the outskirts of the program that texted me at half. It's like, it feels like Miami. This feels like the Miami game, just in the sense that you built a lead, but it felt like it should have been a little bit bigger. It was, what, 19-3 at halftime?
19-3 at half. Jordan Travis hit Ontario Wilson and Lawrence Toa-Philly for two scores in the first half.
He had the safety as well and the field goal before the end of the half. And it felt, though, and again, that's kind of where the penalties come in. I mean, that first drive, you get an offensive, or this, I don't know, it wasn't the first drive, it was the second drive. It was OPI and Jordan Wilson. I would have given FSU first and six, first and goal on the six. They call an offensive pass interference on him. It wasn't, it certainly wasn't one. And so that backs you up, and you end up having a punt on that drive. On the next drive, I believe, there's a pass interference on Amorian Cooper on third and six. That extends the drive. BC scores three. Now, this is where the officiating, Josh, like, does affect you, because it's not just 3 points there. Jamie Robinson gets ejected for targeting on that drive. He hits the quarterback with his helmet. Like, that's a penalty by the letter of the law. But you're not in position for that to happen if the BS PI on Amorian Cooper. I mean, there's just a lot. Man, I want to get into the officiating. We can, because there's more that happened later in the game, but it just, it's so difficult. This leaves a weird taste in your mouth, because FSU has to hold on to win this game. They don't help themselves out in the second half.
It does, but I know this sounds cliche, but a win is a win. I know it's frustrating. I know it feels kind of weird now, but as we head to the Gator game next week, and then we head into the offseason, this will be a win on the road for Florida State against Boston College, and that's really important in the in the life cycle of this program. Did you know Boston College had less than 100 yards of offense in the first two quarters?
I did.
And a lot of that is due to penalties extending drives. I mean, it seemed like, I can't remember which drive it was of the first half, but there was one where it was just extended and extended and extended all the way down. And, you know, before you know it, they're in field goal range.
Yeah, that was I can't even remember if that was the hands to the face with Cooper. And that may have been the third quarter. That was a phantom hands to the face penalty as well. But yeah, BC averaged only 2.9, I think, yards per play in the first half, which is horrible. And that was FSU's defense. Let's give them credit here. Like, the front porch came to play. They set the tone. Jermaine Johnson was beastly, as usual.
They were just tag teaming it.
Woo! And that's, I think they got
Kier into Thomas and Jermaine Johnson. They really got into their groove this game, huh?
And Kier Thomas had some missed tackles that he could have had for sacks. He got held once or twice where Jerkovic was able to get the corner and scramble. But really, they teed off on Jerkovic and they made him uncomfortable. His final line on this game, Josh, Phil Jerkovic, who's going to be an NFL quarterback. And FSU has gone through a gauntlet recently of future NFL quarterbacks between Van Dyke and Finley from NC State. No, is it Finley? No.
You got to give Jerkovic a big shout out here. That drive that he went 96 yards. I mean, he was so beat up and could bear. I thought there was a few times where there was a couple hits where I didn't think he was going to get back into the game from, but he played his little heart out. It was good for him. But it wasn't enough. Florida State, they avoid the loss. What happened with Zay Flowers? How come Boston College wide receiver, do you think that was more on Boston College and their just inability to game plan him open, or was Florida State doing something in the first half versus the second half where Zay Flowers seemingly, you know, got behind the defense a couple times, and there was even a couple times where Jerkovic missed him that he was open down the field? So what did you see there? Just more time to throw in the second half?
Jerkovic was 10 of 24 on the game, 148 yards, one touchdown, one interception, 98.9 passer rating. That's an incredible job by Florida State, and they sacked him four times. I mean, just,
and I think about 96 yards went to Flowers, I believe.
Flowers gets three catches for 92 yards on just six targets, so you're able to bottle up even the amount of targets he gets. It's Devin Leary, was NC State quarterback. So most of Zay Flowers, and he's really good, most of his yardage comes on isolation with linebackers. Kalen DeLoach actually makes a hell of a play where it's this crossing pattern where he gets stuck on Flowers, and it's man-to-man coverage there, and that's not good. You don't want your linebacker, it doesn't matter who the linebacker is, and Kalen DeLoach played his ass off. He had an amazing game. He had the safety, but just hustle plays, filling gaps, run fits were really good, and this was a great play for him to cover Zay Flowers across the field. And it's a gain of 12 yards, but it could have been a lot more if DeLoach isn't hustling to make that stop. So there was about, you know, three or four plays where Flowers gets isolated and they're able to find him, obviously, on three of those or two of those. And the other one was a deep shot down the sideline over Jarvis Brownlee. if I remember correctly. And they were able to pick on the linebackers a few times in man coverage. And, you know, sometimes you're playing man coverage.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's going to happen. I mean, that's being nitpicky when you look at the totality of what Florida State did.
They got Lundy a couple times, but what are you going to do?
And then Lundy comes up with some big run fits. I mean, that's just, that's
I really thought they were going to dial up a deep shot off the play action because they were running the ball so effectively at the end of the game there. I really thought before they crossed over to maybe the 40, I really thought they were going to get FSU and they were going to catch them with a one-on-one with Zay Flowers on a Brownlee or something, you know, for the go-ahead touchdown, but they didn't pull it back and they didn't take the shot down the field. Were you a little surprised by that on how the game ended?
And so at the end of the game, you know, the defense kind of wears out a little bit and people are, I saw some people say, oh, the defense doesn't look interested in playing down the stretch here. I mean, BC had the ball for 17 minutes, 10 seconds.
Kidding me? Come on. Brendan, you need to weed out your timeline. You got some weirdos on there because that defense played their hearts out. I mean, I think that they were exhausted down the stretch. Yeah. There's not another answer. You can't, it's not like, back in the day when Florida State had eight quality defensive linemen that they could just rotate in constantly and get them in. You got what you got on the field. And I think, all those guys played really hard.
Just frustrating
stop when they needed it.
They did. I agree. It's frustrating. You know, that BC gets touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. And then the turnover on downs, a 14 play, 64 yard drive. The defense holds FSU in the second half and the game gets shortened in the second half where in the first half, you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 drives. FSU had the ball. They didn't even start off with the ball, right? FSU had 6 drives. In the second half, they start with the ball. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that includes the kill the clock. So really you have 4 real drives there in the second half. So the game
FSU
got shortened.
FSU had 1-3 and out the entire game?
No, technically not because on, 1-3 and out. And then, 2 times at the end of the half where they basically took a turnover on downs. To
yeah,
kill the
no,
clock,
I mean,
really good game management, by the way, with Mike Norvell at the end there, played that really well. Smart. But the offense just bogs down in the second half. You're not able to hit on some plays. You have the 1-8. You open up the first half, or excuse me, the first drive of the second half, 7 plays, 75 yards. The first time, I think, since the second or third game of the season, Josh, where you're able to score on your opening drive of the third quarter and you have a chance to kind of put them away. And you're just not really able to do anything with that next drive. It's 8 plays for 40 yards.
I think it's because they really weren't able to effectively run the football.
Yeah, BC was doing a lot of run blitzes, taking away the perimeter in the first half.
And I don't think Florida State's offense is meant to throw in a safe way, if that makes sense. Like,
I disagree
FSU's
with that.
Is effective passing when there's like when it needs to be, when the pressure's on. I don't feel like Jordan Travis is comfortable, Brendan, just sitting back there and taking the underthrow and getting the ball out. And I don't think he's there yet as a passer. And I think in this game, Florida State needed to effectively run the ball to take a little pressure off Jordan. I think when Jordan has to sit there and think a lot, he's not as comfortable. When he can roll out and the blitz is on and he can just get rid of it, I think he's more effective. It's really a strange part of his development. I don't think he's a great safe passer, if that makes sense.
So there is some, like, when it gets to obvious passing situations, he's getting better. I disagree with that.
Well, of course you do.
That's not
is our great resident Jordan Travis apologist. I wouldn't think anything else of you.
Jordan was good today. I mean, he was not great. He was good.
I'm not
helped by drops. But what I want to talk about though, with this in mind, because this is when the offense starts to unravel, is that second drive of the third quarter. You get it with 8:05 left at your own 21. And it's a really nice combination of getting Jordan to run the ball, him kind of spreading it out with some rollout and play action stuff. Some short passes, and you're able to get to BC's 33 on 3rd and 4. He throws that little bubble screen. They did a good job setting up, it's like a perimeter screen. They did a good job helping him out with the play action game, getting some quick pass offs too. He took some shots downfield though too, but they throw it to the left side of the field, far side of the field, and it's two guys blocking Jaden Lawrence Woodby. Both the tight ends miss, and it's -1 yard to Lawrence Toefele. Jaden blows it up. I guess it's just Jaden Woodby now. So then it's 4th and 5. FSU decides to go for it. It's on the 34. It's kind of no man's land. And the pass is broken up to Ja'Kai Douglas. It's behind him. But before the snap, there's an illegal formation, and it's called on Darius Washington. but Jordan Travis is hit in the face. And so it should be a hands to the face penalty that would extend the drive and make an automatic first down. Usually an offensive tackle is told, hey, you're in the backfield. There's screenshots of it there where it doesn't look egregious, but you know, it is what it is. The very next play, same exact penalty is called in. J-Trav completes a pass to my boy Jordan Young over the middle of the field for 6 yards. It would keep the drive going. For that penalty to be called twice in a row, I think we can watch any game in college football the rest of today, Josh, next week, bowl games. I don't know if we'll see that penalty called again. For it to be called twice in a row when it didn't look super egregious, it's just another example of the officiating changing the course of this game. You know, if that happens, you may be able to get a field goal and extend. Like, this doesn't become a game. And Darius Washington ends up getting hurt, man. He ends up getting hurt late in the game. You could just be pounding the ball, and I just, man, FSU could have gotten out of this cleanly without guys being exhausted, and partially by their own lack of execution, partially by the piss poor officiating. This ends up being a dogfight, and you don't get to rest up against Florida, and you could have had a nice blowout win. That's frustrating.
It was not the most efficient win for Florida State, that's for sure. Just 134 yards in the second half and 14 yards in the fourth quarter for Florida State's offense. But they do get the win 26-23, two ACC wins in a row. They go up to Boston College, a place that Florida State hasn't historically been great at. And the game starts at noon. So you knew coming off that Miami game, you know, there was a chance of a letdown, but FSU starts fast again. And that wasn't the problem in this game. But they do get the win. So we're going to talk more about that this week. We'll have some recruit reaction up on Knowles 24/7 this evening. I know Zach, he just texted me that he's been in contact and he's putting together a story now on some recruiting reaction from today's game. We have a bunch of stories up on Knowles 24/7. Like I said, Chris is interviewing the players now. We'll have some video and quotes from those guys. And we will be back on the bench on Tuesday of this week. Got some travel stuff going on. Monday pod won't happen, but we will be here on Tuesday to give you guys something before Thanksgiving and probably one more pod later in the week, something like that. Maybe. But Brendan, enjoy the win. Try to enjoy this one.
I'll try.
All right. For Brendan Sinone, for Chris Nee, I'm Josh Newberg. Thank you for listening to On the Bench.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.